Yo, somebody had a lekker quiet time this morning. Woo! Amen. Praise God. Yo, it's nice to be with you guys this morning and a privilege to just share a word this morning about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you want to remember also that he did die on the Friday. Joey preached a wonderful message on Friday for those that weren't here about Jesus dying for our sins. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus had to bleed out on that cross and suffer, and his blood had to hit the ground, and he had to die. Amen? So we thank you, Lord, for your death, for your crucifixion. You know, so we want to speak a little bit this morning just about the resurrection of Jesus and the significance of it, just the importance of it. I just want to spend a few minutes on that, and then also what it does for us, what it gives us, and what it gives the world. And maybe also just share a little testimony of my own life, how God also resurrected me from the dead, because I was spiritually dead for a long time. But I was just reminded in this week, just outside of the preach a little bit, I was kept on thinking of this story of Jesus when he went to a little village called Bethany, and he had some... And he had some friends there, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus had died. And he had been dead 4 days, and Jesus got there. And Martha said to him, you know, my Lord, if you had been here a bit earlier, you could have helped him. And he said, now I want you to know that I am the resurrection and the life. I can bring him back to life. He says, I am the resurrection, the life giver, and I am the life. Do you believe that, Martha? And she said, yes, I believe it, that at the end you will do it. At the end, when we rise up and we will be with you. And then Jesus, just to prove to everybody that was there that he is actually who he says he is, he went to that tomb where Lazarus had been lying for 4 days. And he stood in front of that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out of the tomb. And he had these strips of linen all over him. And Jesus said, take the strips, unbind him and take the strips off his eyes. And the strips came off his eyes and he could see Jesus. And I feel for this morning that the Lord is wanting to come and call some people out of their tombs this morning. The Bible says that we are dead in our sin. When we're outside of Jesus Christ, we are dead to God, but alive to sin. And I feel that the Lord wants to come and open the eyes this morning. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that the God of this world, who is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, of Jesus in Isaiah 61, verse 1, he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to those who are in bondage. And in Isaiah 42, verse 7, it says, he has come to open the eyes of the blind, and to take out all those that are in the dungeons, in the tombs. Amen? So I really feel that the Lord's wanting to do that this morning, to open eyes this morning. Been feeling it, and to get people to come out of their tombs, that they can have life. Amen? Praise God. So I want to say what the devil started in blinding people through the sin of Adam. Through Adam's sin, sin came into the world, and death came into the world to be separated from God for all eternity. He started that by blinding people from birth, blinding their minds so they cannot know Jesus. But Jesus will finish the work. He will finish the good work, and he'll open the eyes of the blind, and he'll set his people free. But I want to talk just a little bit about the importance of the resurrection. And I want us to go to, you can open up with me in your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 16 to 17. And just, why is the resurrection, Jesus being raised? For the kids, resurrection means from death. To life, just for the children here, and for the other children, from death to life, amen? But why is the resurrection so important? I want to say that if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, we would all still be in our sins. Because many a man has died for a good cause, but it didn't save us from hell. It didn't bring us into eternity. It didn't give us life in our new bodies. So Jesus had to be raised from the dead. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the books of the New Testament, he was writing to the church, and he was speaking to some of the people there that didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And he says to them, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has neither been raised, not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So if Jesus was not raised from the dead, we would still be guilty. And our faith would be for nothing. We might as well go home, drink, do drugs, and go crazy. Tomorrow we die. And there would be no forgiveness. And we would be separated from God for all eternity, the Bible says. If he was not resurrected, he wouldn't prove to be the who he said he was, the Lamb of God. Now, can you imagine that separation? Jesus speaks in the book of Matthew, and he says that to be separated from God, in that place, there's a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, it says in Romans 6:23, is eternal life. But to be separated from God for all eternity, there's a weeping and there's a gnashing of teeth. But Jesus came to take us out of the dungeon. But then the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And that was the good news because it meant that Jesus' sacrifice was pleasing and acceptable to God. In the Old Testament, God required that the animal sacrifices had to be perfect without any defect, no faults, without spot or blemish. Because if you brought God a sacrifice that had spot or blemish, he would reject it. And the sins of the people would not be forgiven. But now in the New Testament, the Old Testament wasn't working. So in the New Testament, the Lord said, I'm going to make a new and living way through the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. That we don't have to sacrifice animals every day without spot or blemish. But my son is going to pay the price for sin once and for all. And so John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming from a distance, he said, behold, he saw him in the spirit, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. That baby's on fire there. But also Jesus, the Lamb of God, also had to be without spot or blemish. Like I said, if any man gets up on the cross, and many people had died on the cross, it was a Roman way of the death sentence. Many men had died that way, but not many had risen from the dead to prove that they are the Son of God. So after Jesus was crucified, people were waiting to see if he truly was the Son of God, perfect and without sin. And even his own disciples, even after he had told them, I must go, as we looked at the scripture earlier, I must go. The Son of Man must be given over to sinful men. He must be beaten. His beard must be pulled. And he must be whipped. And then he must rise again on the third day. But many of them doubted him. And many of them still didn't believe. And they were waiting to see if he truly was the Lamb of God, if he would be raised from the dead. And many were hopeless. And many of his people were scattered. And they were scared. But not all of them. I want us to look at what happened on the third day after Jesus was crucified and he was put in that tomb that we sang about in Joseph's tomb. If we can go to John chapter 20, you want to read from verse 11 to 18. Now Mary Magdalena, that was Mary Magdalena of whom Jesus had driven out seven demons. She was a committed one. She stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked the woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Because when we are resurrected, we are going to have new bodies, the word says. So he asked the woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener. What nerve. But I just love that Jesus doesn't come looking like a mighty prince. He just looks like the gardener. That's our God. That's our gardener. The constant gardener. Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. She recognized his voice. And Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord. Yo, I've seen the Lord. And they were all waiting to see, is he really the Christ? I mean, he was a wonderful teacher, a wonderful rabbi, but is he really the Son of God? And is he really who he says he is? But when they heard that, I've seen the Lord, they knew, okay, there's hope. Hope is in the nation. So those were beautiful words to the disciples' ears. And hope was restored because he was risen. Hope was restored in their lives. And sins were forgiven. They knew now that my sins can be forgiven because he's the true Lamb of God without spot and blemish. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have been raised from the dead. But because he was a perfect sacrifice, Jesus was pleased with the sacrifice. He raised him from the dead. He is risen. And eternal life given to all those who will put their trust in him. And then Jesus appeared to more people to prove his point. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 3 to 7, the Apostle Paul is writing again. He's writing to these people, these doubters in the church. He says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep, have died. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. So there was no denying at the time that God, what God had done through his son Jesus, through his death on the cross and his resurrection. So all the proof was there. It was for everyone to see that Christ was crucified, he was raised from the dead, and because of that, sins are forgiven and eternal life available to all who would come to him. In Romans 6, verse 23, it says that the wages of sin, just again, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life found in Christ Jesus. Amen? So he is risen. And because he's risen, we've got hope. Because he's risen, we can put our trust in him. Is it already 17 minutes? But secondly, just with the scripture and a short testimony, also, you know, just of my own life. I know we've all got testimonies, and I love to hear everybody's testimony at different times because it's so, it builds, every time I hear somebody's testimony, it just builds my faith. Because I know, yo, look what God did in this person's life. So what the death and resurrection of Jesus has enabled us to receive, and what it has done for us, it has given us life. We have received life because Jesus was raised from the dead. The Bible says the very spirit and power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you when you come to him. And he puts his spirit in you. In Ephesians 1:13, it says that when we heard the message, the gospel of God, and we believed it, he sealed us with the Holy Ghost, with the power. So he has given us life through his resurrection. In Romans 8, verse 11, it says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, if he is living in you, my friend, if you are a child of God, he's living in you. But if you're not a child of God, he's not living in you. You know, the Bible says in John 1, verse 12, to all who believed in Jesus and those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Not just those who believed him, because even the devil believes, and so do the demons, and they shudder at his name. But to those who received him into their hearts, you, my Lord, my Savior, you died for me. He gave the right to become children of God. And then God puts his spirit in you. So once again, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. God giving life to your mortal bodies, it's twofold there. Why is that? When you go on to be with Jesus one day in your old age or wherever you're going to go, Christ is going to resurrect you with the power that he's given you, his power. He's going to give you life, eternal life. But also says that while we are on this earth, he gives you life. He gives you a new life. He takes your old life and he gives you a new life. Just very quickly, just a friend of mine that was a drug addict for many, many years. He used to go into Canal Walk and steal all sorts of stuff with his son. And his son was 10 years old. And he used to use him as like a decoy. So nobody would think he's stealing, but they caught him and they locked him up. And after many years in and out of prison, he was in a prison cell. Somebody came to get his son. And he was hopeless. The last time I'd seen him, it looked like he had AIDS. He was just in a terrible, terrible state. And decades of drugs and prison. And he said, you know, that day in the cells, he said, God, please take my life. Just looking at his situation, please take my life. And he said, that day, God took his old life. And he gave him a new life. And he never did drugs again. Jeez. Praise God. But it means the present. In the present, it means a new life now and power to live in a new life. Power to overcome sin. Power to overcome addiction. Power to overcome whatever it is you're facing. Power to come out of that tomb. Power to be delivered and set free from addictions. In other words, as you come to Christ, he will not only raise you from the dead and bring you out of that tomb, but will also empower you by the Holy Spirit to help you live a new life. A new life. A good life. A life to God, connected because of Jesus. The Bible says we are dead to sin and alive to God because of what Jesus did. But before we come to Jesus, dead to God, in a tomb. And a life to sin. And I just want to end off with a testimony of how God saved me and brought me from a place of just being spiritually dead in a tomb, so to speak, in a spiritual tomb, just messed up and broken. I want to say, man, you know, I got saved when I was 35, but as far back as I can remember, I was a sinner. In Psalm 51, verse 5, King David is saying, you know, for I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. I tell you, no one had to teach me how to sin. It came very natural to me. You know, I was brought up in a broken household. My father was, shame, he was an alcoholic and very abusive. And I ended up being very rebellious and looking for attention in all the wrong places, looking for fulfillment and looking for comfort and looking for love, which I wasn't getting at home, you know, in all the wrong places. Shame, my father was, he never had a father himself. He didn't know how to be a father. I remember when I was 6 years old, my mother came to the school where I was in town. And when she got, they called her into the school. And when she got to the school, I was tied up to a chain rope. And just because of my naughtiness, running away from school and going to go steal in the shopping center, 6 years old. I started doing drugs when I was 10 years old. Started smoking weed. Found good fulfillment in that. Started smoking Mandrax when I was 12 years old. You know, my father used to come home from work in the evenings during the school holidays when I was 10 or 11. He used to take me to the neighbors to apologize for breaking into their house. I used to break into people's houses. You know, by the time I was 15, I was kicked out of 8 schools and 3 boarding schools. When I was 19, I was homeless. I was stealing washing off washing lines, picking up stompies off the street, going into people's houses, stealing the stuff out the fridge and walking down the road with packets of groceries. Thinking, is this how it is to live a normal life? Walking with the groceries. I was breaking into houses and supporting my drug habit. When I was 20 years old, I went into prison for 7 months. I had my 21st birthday in prison. Came out of prison 18 months later, went back into prison with a 9.5-year sentence at the age of 22. For robbery, aggravating circumstances and a lot of house breaks. I ended up doing 4.5 years. I went in when I was 22. I came out when I was 27. I was on parole for 2.5 years. Came back down to Cape Town and met with my old friends again. And I got addicted to a new drug, crack cocaine. And for the next about half a decade, I was just addicted to this drug. And it was robbing me. And every bit of money I made, I'd spend on it. I was just hopeless. I met a woman and she fell pregnant and had a little girl. Layla, and you know, when she was 3 years old, I was so hectically addicted to the crack, to the cocaine, to the rocks, and I couldn't look after my daughter. I couldn't be there for her, and
I used to see people having just normal lives, you know. And I couldn't look after my little girl. I couldn't support her. I couldn't buy little outfits. I couldn't provide for her for milk or nothing. And one morning, I was just so messed up of a whole night of smoking crack. I was in a drug house in Brooklyn, and I said, God, please, if you're real, yo, will you please help me? Would you please help me, God, if you're real? And the next day, two friends came to me, and they took me to a Christian men's home. And I went into that men's home. I didn't even say the sinner's prayer. I knew this. I wanted to be in this place. I just saw something different about these people. And I asked Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. And he saved my life right there. And he delivered me from decades of drugs. He delivered me from prison life, from gangsterism. I was a gangster in prison as well. Couldn't wait to join the gang just to belong. But he delivered me from all these things. And he filled me with the Holy Spirit. I began to read his word. And the word became living to me. And after the men's home, I came to Josh Jen. And I've been here ever since. And the Lord has changed my life around. When I came to him dead in a tomb, and he brought me out of that tomb, and he gave me a new life, and he gave me his Holy Spirit to help me lead a new life, and help me to live, and to help me live a new life. And he delivered me from the drugs, and then he delivered me from alcohol, and he delivered me from the cigarettes a couple of years later. Took a bit of time with that one. But eventually I want to give this up too. The elders came to me and said, Declan, we can see you leading a community. And I was so amped to do that. I just wanted to lead a community. And so I laid the cigarettes down. I suffered probably about 6 months. But I wanted to do it for the Lord, you know, because of what he did for me. He died for me, and he gave me life in my mortal body so I could live. And then through many processes in the church and walking with Jesus and walking with people, I came onto eldership eventually, and the Lord made me a shepherd in his house. But I want to say, man, I was dead. I was dead in my sin, super lost, and there was no hope for me, hopeless. But when I called on the name of the Lord, and I said, Lord, if you're real, can you help me? He helped me. He didn't ignore my cry. And it's like he said, Declan, come out of that tomb. And I came out of that tomb, and he took the linen strips off my eyes, and I was able to see him and to know him. And the Bible says to know God and his son Jesus is eternal life. And I want to say, friends, that if God can do it for me, and you're here today and you're thinking, wow, can you do it for me? Oh, yes, you can. If you can do that for me, my friends, he can do that for you. And the thing is, God wants to give you a new life, a regenerated life. Not just eternal life, which is the main prize, but actually wants to give you life in your mortal body, life now. To live out a life as a child of God. If you believe in him today and you receive him today, the Bible says you become a child of God, and he gives you his Holy Spirit, and he gives you that resurrection power to live out this life. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on. God gives us a new life, man. Yo, a regenerated life and eternal life. We are all, each and every one in this place, has eternal life. Everybody that has ever been born on this planet has eternal life. But you get to choose where you spend it. You get to choose, and you can choose today where you're going to spend eternal life. We can't deny that there's eternal life. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God has made everything beautiful in his time, but that he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. When he formed you and fashioned you in your mother's womb, the Bible says, when he knitted you together, he put a seed in there called eternity. And you can't deny that, because he has put eternity in your heart. But I want to say that you get to make a choice today. Today you can make a choice that will change your eternal destination, where you'll spend eternity. Eternity with God or eternity without God. And he wants you to be with him because he loves you. He wants you to be with him. He wants to give you life in your mortal body today. And he wants to give you eternal life. And I want to say that the same voice that called Lazarus out of the tomb when he was dead is calling you today. The same voice that said, Lazarus, come out of that tomb. He's calling you today to come out of that tomb. And some of you might be in that tomb today. I believe you are in the tomb of death. For some of you, you might be in the tomb of misery. a tomb of despondency, a tomb of depression, a tomb of sickness, a tomb of addiction, just a tomb of death, of fear. But Jesus is calling you out today. And as you come out, you'll open your eyes. You'll take the linen strips off your eyes and you'll give life to your mortal bodies and he'll help you to live this life. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead will raise you to eternal life and will give you life. That power is there to forgive you of every sin, to restore you, to give you a new life. My friend, I want to say you are either dead in sin, in a tomb, in a spiritual tomb, or you are alive in Christ. But you can choose. You can choose today. With every eye closed. Can we just focus on Jesus for a minute? And if you're saying to yourself, man, I need forgiveness. I want to come out of that tomb. Jesus is calling me out of that tomb. And I want that new life that Jesus has for me. You know, if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. I'm going to count to five just now. Let's give you time. And if you're saying in your heart, Lord, I want to come out of that tomb. I'm in a tomb of sorts. I don't know you. I need my sins to be forgiven. I need that new life. I want that new life, Lord. I want that new life. Because I'm tired of my old life. It leads to death and to eternal separation from God. Lord, would you come and save me? If that's you this morning, I want to count to five and I want you to put your hand up with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can put your hand up. I see that hand. Praise God. I see that hand. Can you gather around that man over there? I remember when my... Thank you. Is there anybody else? You're saying, Lord, I want to come out of that tomb today. And I want that new life that you have for me. I see that hand back there. Well done. Well done. God's going to give you a new life today. You're welcome to come stand in the front. Do you want to bring that brother to the front? You can come stand in the front. We can celebrate together. Amen. You want to come a little bit forward? Guys, you can get around him.
Praise God. Well done. Well done, man.
Now God's got a new life for you. A beautiful life. Praise God. Just give a few more seconds. Is there anybody else? You know, I remember just before my sister died of cancer, she was in the deathbed and she had a life of bad life. And I just got saved and I preached the gospel to her and she burst out crying. She said, Dickie, I want Jesus to forgive my sins. And I prayed with her and I led her to the Lord and the Lord took her home. He saved her just in time. You know, tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow is not promised. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day if you hear the Lord's voice, don't harden your heart. It says in the Bible, as they did in the wilderness. And there was a price for them to pay. Come on, if the Lord is speaking to you, don't harden your heart. Tomorrow is not promised. I'm going to give you one more chance. If that's you and you're saying, Lord, I need you. Will you save me? Will you rescue me? Will you give me that new life? I want you to put your hand up with me now. Come. Is there anybody else? Praise God. Amen. Okay, why don't we all pray together? Okay. We all pray together. Maybe you've never said this prayer for the first time. We're going to pray together now. To Lord God, oh, thank you that you sent Jesus to die for my sins and to be raised from the dead. And that same power that raised Christ from the dead is for me now. I receive it
I receive your sacrifice. I receive life. I receive your eternal life because of what you've done for me. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for a new life. And we all said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord.